In the U.S. today, there is less than one person available for work for every skilled job that's posted out there today. It's reality.
In this episode, you'll discover how to leverage global labor arbitrage to reduce cost, scale faster, and build recurring revenue in a world where work is no longer tied to geography. Welcome to Pursuit of Profit, the franchise business podcast helping high-income professionals cut through the noise to find the right franchise and build real wealth through ownership. Today, I'm joined by Christina Chambers, Chief Franchise Officer at Doxa Talent. And this is a conversation every franchise investor should hear, especially as labor, offshoring, and AI continue to reshape how businesses operate. Let me give you a couple of stats to frame this. The U.S. economy is over $31 trillion. And roughly $13 trillion of that is just payroll. That's about 42% of the entire economy tied to labor. And nearly 80% of companies are now using some form of offshore labor. Because when a role that costs $120,000 in the U.S. can be done for $30,000 globally, that's not just cost savings. That's a fundamental shift in how businesses operate. In this episode, you'll discover how Doxa fits into the broader global staffing and BPO landscape, why we're in a true talent crisis in America, and how companies are solving it by thinking globally, not just locally, and how the rise of borderless workforce is creating a strategic advantage for companies that adopt it early. All right, let's get into it. So I have to ask, why Doxa? What problem are you solving at Doxa? What made you make this move? What's going on?
Well, I'll start first with why Doxa. Just, I've known David Nilsen, the CEO of Doxa, for quite a few years. He was the co-founder and a former CEO of Guidant Financial. So through the years in franchising, very, very, just a great guy, very culture driven. And when I heard about what he was doing with Doxa and also heard about who the first franchisee was going to be, which was Tom Spadia, and a couple of his colleagues, it made me sit up and listen. Like, okay, what is he trying to do here? He's trying to stand up a new franchise that is something very unique in the franchise industry. I mean, B2B itself is unique, but this is something that almost no one's ever done before, a business process outsourcer as a franchise. And nobody knows what a BPO is, but now they do. And I loved the founding story. So the founding story of Doxa, I'll flip over to that side. It started to really is a solution for Guidant Financial about 5 years ago. So David, as he was running Guidant Financial, top franchise financing company doing all the 401k rollovers and SBA loans, they were based in Seattle, growing super fast and had a bunch of employees that were just overworked and overloaded. And he was trying to hire more people to relieve his team of being overloaded. But in Seattle, he was competing against the likes of Amazon and Microsoft and Boeing to try and hire people. And it was not working. So he had to look for an alternate solution to tap into a larger talent pool and looked at offshoring. So really looking at global talent to bring in to work remotely for them and decided that was the right solution for growth and launched with an outsourcing company. Needless to say, what he experienced in that entire endeavor really, really bothered him. Saw workers being treated as commodities. Subpar working conditions. The pay didn't match their experience or their skills. There was no investment in them. Clients weren't really even allowed to talk to them very much, which is weird. And the clients had no support whatsoever. The whole model he saw was built around volume and cost. And it wasn't people focused at all. And it was really hinging on being unethical. And he decided, you know, rather than walk away from the whole thing or just accept it, it's like, I'm going to make a decision to do this the right way. He was not going to grow his business on the backs of workers in an unethical way. So he gathered together a founding team and they built the model that we have today, which is Doxa. It's conscious outsourcing. It's good compensation and benefits for workers. It's training and onboarding for clients and employees. It's a good data security infrastructure and the kind of culture and environment where people can actually build a career and U.S. companies can feel really good that they're augmenting their teams in an ethical way and also have pretty low turnover. And so that founding story of Doxa holds true today. And we have a core mission of lifting global communities by creating meaningful work. So just that alone, knowing that you're part of something that's mission driven, you're making an impact on the world, that was enough to get me to come on board. And when he said, you know what, the way for us to scale this mission is through franchising. And he loves franchising. You know, David, I know you've known David over the years. You know, he's been in the franchise world as a financing supplier. He was a franchisee himself. And he's been a partner to a lot of different franchisors. And he and I and the rest of our team truly believe in franchising. At its best, it's a partnership, right? With local leaders who invest in their communities. And for a mission-driven business looking to make an impact on the world, it's an amazing opportunity for entrepreneurs to really tap into this massively growing offshoring industry that nobody knows about, or at least franchisees don't truly know about today, but they can create wealth with a purpose. So they can create a big business, recurring revenue business, and feel really good about what they're doing at the end of the day.
Pursuit of Profit is brought to you by Franosity. If you're thinking about franchise ownership, the biggest mistake you can make is choosing the wrong business. At Franosity, we help you find the right franchise based on your goals, your lifestyle, and your long-term vision. Our services are completely free. We're paid by the franchisor, not you, the client. So you could get expert guidance without any cost. If you want to get started, go to franosity.com, franosity.com, and book a call. You guys have stacked the deck with really good people. We have a talent crisis in America. The borderless leader. What is that? Break that down.
Let me start with the talent crisis first, because it's something that first a lot of people don't realize and they don't necessarily believe in. They hear all of these horror stories on the news about unemployment rates are high and people are losing their jobs and they can't find jobs. In the U.S. today, there is less than one person available for work for every skilled job that's posted out there today. It's reality. We actually are in a, and I won't geek out the way David normally does, but we're actually more in a birth rate crisis. So there's not enough people being born.
Agreed.
To supplement those who are leaving the workforce. So your, you know, boomer generation is aging out, leaving the workforce, younger generations, there's just not enough to infill that piece. And so we just don't have enough potential workers here in the U.S. today. And it's not turning around. There's a lot of charts that David shows it actually to our franchise candidates as well, just to show the reason for and the reality behind why having a global talent pool is so necessary, because U.S. talent pools are going to continue to shrink. And again, this is for skilled labor, professional services, you know, more on the white collar side. So that's one piece of it. And it's one of the reasons why we chose the Philippines as our first country that we are using for offshoring. And you're right, we are in multiple countries. We're actually in four, although we're mostly growing in the Philippines and Colombia. The Philippines is not facing a birth rate issue. They have a huge talent pool. They have a very highly educated workforce. All go to college, and the Philippines is an English-speaking country. So it really does help U.S. companies kind of get over that hump where they believe that they're not going to have, you know, the right communication styles with the workers that are hired. And then Colombia kind of fills that gap with wanting Spanish speaking and wanting maybe more of a near shore time zone differentials as well. So as far as the talent pool, shrinking talent pool, and being able to really tap into all the rest, that kind of answers that question. So conscious outsourcing is actually a term we came up with. We trademarked it. It's really our way of being ethical in offshoring. So it's aligning compensation and benefits with what people are truly worth, for one thing. So we are not racing to the bottom when it comes to, you know, paying workers pennies on the dollar and expecting them to do the same job that someone here in the U.S. does. Now, our clients still save about 70% on their labor costs, but honestly, it's mostly because of the exchange rate. We're paying in Filipino pesos versus U.S. dollars, but we're still paying people what they're worth. And that's huge. And it's something that's not typical, unfortunately, in this industry. There's a lot of different prongs to conscious outsourcing. One of them is the worker pay. The other one is also making sure that clients have a financial alignment with us as well, meaning we're not requiring our clients to sign long-term contracts. It's 30 days. It's a 30-day contract. We make it easy for them to do business with us. And then if they decide that they want to, at some point in the future, take that worker in-house, take on all of the, it takes a lot to hire a worker from another country and really abide by the right HR regulations and labor rules and pay and insurance and taxes and all the rest of the things. But if a company says, hey, we want to actually hire this worker in-house, we don't want to just lease them from you, we allow it. We have something called, it's our build, operate, transfer philosophy. So we're not putting clients in handcuffs. We're making sure that what we're offering clients and offering the workers are good for everyone at any point in the future. And again, something that's not very typical within outsourcing or offshoring. Data security, cybersecurity, that's another big, big, big piece of it. Most outsourcing companies, believe it or not, tell their employees they must provide their own laptops. What happens when you provide your own laptop? You are not insured about the security on that laptop, what those workers are accessing and how they are potentially putting clients' data at risk. And so we take that on ourselves. We have a whole cybersecurity division. We're SOC 2, Type 2 compliant. All of the hardware that our employees use with US companies are all provided by us. And we make sure everything is very, very locked down. So again, everything that we're doing in our outsourcing model is conscious to making sure it's right for the worker and making sure it's right for the client.
That's great. Christine has said a few things here. I just want to kind of reinforce. One, she mentioned a BPO, which is a category, and it's a business process outsourcing category. Globally is $300 billion. The CAGR on a BPO is nearly 8 to 10%. So they're expecting this to be like $500 billion. Again, it's globally. The other thing that was mentioned was labor. So the most recent labor number in the United States, this is shocking and it echoes exactly what you said. There are right now, as of April 2026, there are 6.9 million open jobs, even at the lowest level, right? Because everything is in here. 6.9 million open jobs in the United States. And at the same time, there are 6.6 million people unemployed. That is a massive delta that you're not going to fix. And this is all jobs included.
The other thing to kind of like piggyback on that is there are a ton of surveys that come out every year that ask small to mid-sized businesses, which is really our sweet spot, right? Those businesses that have 20 to 500 employees, asking them, are you having trouble finding labor? Are you having trouble hiring? And that number, I think 5 years ago was something like 68%. And then every year it's added 2-3% every year. This past year, it was 77%. So 77% of small to medium-sized businesses say, I have trouble hiring. I have trouble finding staff to help me grow and scale my company.
The BPOs in the past, they were just doing like really low-level stuff. Today, you literally could have your accounting done in the Philippines, your call center done in India. You could have your marketing company done in Colombia. It's like, wait a second. And all part of one company located in Georgia. But yet you're outsourcing not just people, but entire departments. Like I said, like accounting, where's your accounting? My accounting is in Vietnam. You know, my marketing's in Colombia. It's like your entire department. Yes, there's no marketing people in Georgia. They're all in Colombia. It's wild. The average commute for a Filipino was 3 to 3.5 hours per day. And it's like you cannot, honestly, you cannot work. I find this fascinating. You live in the Philippines, but it's nearly impossible to work in the Philippines due to the excessive commute time, windshield time. That is crazy to me.
It's one of the reasons why we set our entire company up to be remote. Our entire company is remote. So the story I told you about Guidant Financial being in Seattle, they went remote. So the minute Doxa solved that solution and found these workers offshore for them, their entire company went remote. Doxa, our entire company is remote. We don't even have a corporate headquarters. You could sort of call it Boise, Idaho, where David Nelson lives, but that's about it. But all of our workers in the Philippines and Colombia and Kenya and Vietnam and where we have them, they all work from home. We set them up with work from home so that they get back. And I think the last count was it's an average of 40 days a year not commuting, being with their families, doing outside work, working on their own personal development, and just having a more well-balanced life. It's huge. And it makes us an employer of choice, which is beautiful. It's wonderful. So when our US clients say, hey, I need to hire a bookkeeper and a marketing manager, and I need a steel estimator, trust me, we've got some weird roles out there. These are people who want to work for Doxa because they know we're going to set them up with this amazing work-life balance and with clients who appreciate them and are going to pay them well.
I used to feel, and you could address this in your own words, but I used to feel like this was doing a disservice to the American worker, right? We're offshoring their job. And I felt that way for a long time until you dig into the data like I just gave you, 6.9 million open jobs, 6.6 million people unemployed. It's not a matter of being like disloyal to your own country. It's a matter of the country I'm residing in doesn't have the talent pool or the size that necessary to fill all the open positions. Like, what is your take on the elephant in the room? A lot of people feel that offshoring is replacing U.S. workers at lower labor, right? How do you respond to that?
Well, I'll say, you know, we always try and position it more as we're staff augmentation, not staff replacement. And when you think about corporate culture of any company, a lot of it comes down to your domestic workers being happy in their roles and having an opportunity to move up in their roles. Well, let's look at a company that wants to grow. They want to scale. They don't have enough workers to do that. So you've got someone who, let's stick with the accounting department. You've got an accounts receivable person who wants to move up to be the controller someday, but they are the only person who can also do accounts payable. And oh, by the way, they're also the bookkeeper, because we can't hire enough people to help them focus on their job the right way, or to focus on more of the revenue generating activities in their job. So when Doxa comes along with offshoring and we say, all right, your accounting department, you really need two or three more people to help this person do their job better and to be able to relieve them of these extra things they're being asked to do. By the way, they can then do their job better and they can then get promoted. And they could possibly be promoted up to maybe even manage some of the new offshore staff that they have within their department. So we really do truly see it. When we say lifting global communities, we don't just mean the offshore communities. We also mean the U.S. communities. And we've seen it. Guidant Financial was a great example of this when they added now they have over 100 people offshore to supplement their more than 100 people onshore. It's beautiful. Their corporate culture actually got better. And everyone works together as one big happy family. Their Glassdoor ratings went up. Their NPS, their employee NPS score went up. Their turnover rate dropped drastically. It went from like 50% to 10%. So the case studies are there that show adding offshore workers is really no different than just filling in the gaps that you need, that you have in your org chart, to help your onshore U.S. workers do their jobs better and be happier in what they're doing.
My understanding is that Doxa has this infrastructure behind the scenes. They're doing all the heavy lifting to source the talent. My job as the franchisee is to just go to the law firm, the accounting firm, the marketing firm, and acquire the customers that have a need for offshore talent. Is that accurate?
Yeah. We call it HR strategy consulting. That's really what our franchisees are running, a professional services business in HR strategy consulting. So they're finding the clients that need the help, which, as we've talked about, 77% of all small to medium-sized businesses in the U.S. today have this need. They're acquiring the client, they're having those conversations, and they're helping them realize where in the org chart we can help them fill those gaps. They're creating the job descriptions. They're helping them scope out what they need, and then they package it all up and they work with the back office fulfillment team. So you were correct in that Doxa has everything in the operations side we handle for the franchisees. We do the recruiting, we do the HR performance management, we do the accounting, invoicing, and billing. We do all of those things so that franchisees can truly, truly focus on what they do best, and that is relationships, right? It's client acquisition, account management, helping those accounts grow over time as well. And for that, they are able to share in the margin per employee that's placed and build a recurring revenue business.
How is the revenue being split? Are you on a royalty model? Are you on a revenue share model? What's the model for compensation for the franchisee?
We'll call it more like a margin share. And so really the way that this is packaged up for clients is clients will pay a flat rate per month per employee that's placed with them. And our item 19 actually has four different charts now. It's got all sorts of information. One of those charts is how much a client would pay on average per month, about $2,600 to $2,700 a month per employee. Out of that amount is an amount that we call the markup. So baked into that amount is the salary and the benefits and the taxes and fees and everything that we pay to the employee and to the country where they reside in order to have them as an employee. And then over and above that, about a 25 to 35% amount is a markup. That piece is what the franchisee gets to set. So that's when we talk about pricing models in any franchise, you know, franchisees typically have the rights to set pricing. This is how they set pricing with Doxa. So they get to play with, we have a rate card that they use. They get to play with how much can I add on top of the salary and benefits to charge my client. It still fits within their budget, but allows me to make a really good margin on this. In our item 19 currently, which is brand new for 2025, the average margin, average markup amount from our franchisee who's listed in this item 19 was about $558. So that's per employee.
On a $2,600 a month, it's 20%.
Correct. Exactly. And depending on the role, lower level roles to higher level roles, you know, that markup is could be lower, could be higher. I think the highest markup she hit was $894. And then the lowest was pretty low. It was about 173. So there's a range, but that average is still pretty good. And it really bakes out in a nice way. So that markup is what we share. That's how we create our royalty stream. Now, for everything that we do for the franchisees, we say we do about 80% of the work, but we only keep 60% of the markup. So franchisees get to keep 40% of that markup amount, and it builds. Because for every month that that employee is employed by us and hired by their client, they keep getting that amount. So it's almost like you sell it once, and then as long as you do a really good job at relationship management and allow us to do a really good job at HR performance management, you're just going to keep getting that paycheck. So our franchisee, we actually do list what her take home was all of last year. She had 10 months of activity because we only became a franchise really as of March 1st last year. So 10 months of activity, she went from just over $8,700 in March to clearing over $17,620 in December. So every month that amount got bigger and bigger and bigger. She doubled.
And she's not stopping. She just can continue adding hourly labor or salary, hourly, whatever. You said the average per person would be around $2,600. Of that 500 and change that you mentioned, the franchisee would keep 40% of that 500.
Yeah. And they don't, to do that, they don't have to pay for any storefront. This is all home-based. Their overhead is very low. So no storefront, no employees unless they want employees. And I will say our franchisee, she kind of drank her own Kool-Aid. She actually has an executive assistant that she loves. It helps run her life. From Doxa. So she's based in the Philippines as well. And so that's also an opportunity for our franchisees too. As you scale, as you grow, you can also use the Doxa talent pool to do that.
That's great. I like that. Yeah, that's interesting. Okay. So she's making her own schedule. She obviously makes her own hours. It's B2B. She's probably working Monday through Friday. No weekends, no holidays. It's quite a life. If you could scale it to kick off, you know, a stream, if you will, a margin stream of, let's say, $20,000-$25,000 a month, that you're making a great living. What are the top three ways a Nicole, a franchisee, can acquire a customer?
She had a professional network. She had people that when she kicked off this business, that she picked up the phone and they would answer the phone. And she wasn't trying to pitch them. She just asked her professional network, hey, I'm starting this business. And this business helps U.S. companies solve these labor hiring issues and does it in an ethical way at about a 70% cost savings, but finds these amazingly skilled employees. Have you heard of anyone who's having this issue? Have you heard of anyone that I should talk to? Starting to build referrals. And of course, for the first 5 calls she made, I think 3 of those calls, they said, oh, that's me.
Exactly.
Sign me up. What do you got? So it's utilizing and activating your professional network to start. And then layering that on top of the right networking groups. So for her, and she's tried many of them, and some of them have borne tons of fruit. BNI, Provisors, EO, which is Entrepreneurs Organization, you know, local attorney groups. It's anything that you have a relationship to. So someone who's got 10 plus years of professional experience and has that network that they can activate, that's who we're looking for. That's who does really, really well with this. Now, I will say from that point on, 85% of her new clients that sign up today are referrals from existing clients. So that's the other piece of it, is we know that the service we provide is fantastic. And we know our clients are happy. We have an NPS score that's in the high 70s. And if anybody knows Net Promoter Score, it's huge. It's world class. So the more we keep employees and clients happy, the more our franchisees can then get referrals from existing clients. And that flywheel effect just keeps going.
Talk to me about territory. What's her territory? Does she get delineated by zip codes, county, city? How does it work?
We have a primary marketing area. So it's not really an exclusive territory. It doesn't restrict her from where she works and from where she sells. Because if she has a wide network, like we all know Nicole does, we want her to go forth and conquer with her wide network. You know, she has clients all over the country. Our primary marketing areas are more meant to say, we know in this market, we've been able to identify there's at least 1,000 businesses that match our ideal client profile. So for you to be able to go and join local networking groups, we know there's at least 1,000 businesses in here that you can tap into. And we provide our franchisees with that business list once they sign as well. So for Nicole, she's got Center City, Philadelphia. I think it's 5 or 6 zip codes, but there's tons of territories available outside of that as well. We now have 6 franchisees who are launched: Cincinnati, Philadelphia, Denver, Northern California, Seattle, and the Plano Frisco area of Dallas.
Oh, good. All right. So we're moving on. We're expanding. Okay, great. So how many active open franchisees are there in total today?
We have 6 today. And next week, love it. We have our first franchisee convention. We're like, you know what? More than 5 franchisees, we might as well have a convention. So we're bringing everybody to the Philippines to see why we do what we do and have a really cool cultural immersion.
That's great. So if I'm in South Florida and I'm a franchisee, I literally can call a contact in San Francisco.
Yes. The only thing we don't want franchisees to do is you're not going to spend money on marketing in someone else's territory. That is the restriction we've got.
Totally get that. Don't go running ads and pay-per-click and targeting someone else's territory. That I understand. No. Okay. The investment is really low and impressive. I'm showing an item 7 between $80,000 and $120,000. What's in there?
The biggest part is the franchise fee. It's the pay to play to come in on board. It's $60,000. And that franchise fee also covers the training fee, also covers the laptop that we give you when you join as a franchisee as well. The other pieces, honestly, are working capital, making sure that you are going to spend some money on marketing when you first start, insurance, little pieces. So there's not really a ton in there. We did put in our working capital enough for you to cover, you know, $1,000 a month for marketing for the first whole year. And then also we have a technology and marketing fee. We don't have an ad fund. And instead, we do provide a lot of marketing support and technology. All the software that you would need to use along with that laptop that we give you is $499 a month.
Okay.
So that $499 a month for the whole first year is also included in that initial amount. Now, I will say, this is a business where you're building a pipeline from scratch, from zero. There's going to be a ramp up period. So beyond that initial investment, we want to make sure that our candidates have their household expenses covered for a year, at least. We don't know how long it's going to take you to ramp because we don't know what your networking abilities are. We don't know what kind of professional network that you bring to the table. So we want to make absolutely sure that you're not underfunded and that you are someone who can ride that wave.
When I was doing my research on this, I'm like, okay, yes, you have the BPO. I get that part, right? And then I'm like, but this is really, there's a spread between payroll, right? And the margin. So I'm like, what? How big is payroll? Because it's a payroll. My job is to get as many people on payroll from my network. That's really what this is, right? Listen to this. These are mind-blowing statistics. Just ADP, they touch $2 trillion a year in payroll. Trillion, two.
Wow.
So the United States payroll is $13 trillion. It's represented by 160 million workers. That is mind-blowing. Put that in perspective. You ready for this? If you put that $13 trillion in perspective, it is 42% of the entire U.S. economy as relates to GDP. GDP in America is $31 trillion. Payroll is $13 trillion. Like, my head's about to explode. I've never had a conversation with numbers like this in my life. You're basically in the payroll business. It's like, I want to get as many people on payroll as possible, and then work my magic, work my spread, and take my margin. I think it is a phenomenal opportunity for $80,000 to $120,000 if you have a database, right? If you have that network, if you have the desire to want to build something like this, you know, you're not afraid to make an outbound dial, join EO, join all these, the BNI groups, which I think are great, and network. I think this is a huge opportunity. It's really a solopreneur. I'm not hearing you say, you know, you'll hire this and then by month three, you'll hire more. I'm not hearing any of that.
No. And I will say, look, you can grow and you can scale by hiring other sales reps, still utilizing your network, still utilizing, you know, kind of driving leads to your people. It's how we run our corporate location. We do have a corporate unit, and the corporate location results are also in our item 19, which shows, you know, over 4 years, we've placed corporately about 765 employees by the end of last year. And that's how we run it today. And we're doing it today to also help train our franchisees and also help work with them. So our corporate staff actually is on calls with franchisees every week, and they're trading ideas and tips and tricks and wins and failures and all of those things. And so, yeah, we are the proof that you can do this in a very, very small labor way, but hit very, very large numbers.
Can you share with me these six people? Maybe you can highlight two or three of them. Like, what were their backgrounds? They're now franchisees of Doxa. Where are they coming from?
Yeah, I love it because it's such a spread. It's beautiful. And again, it really does highlight you do not have to have staffing, recruiting, HR experience to do this. Now, I will say two of them do. So Nicole Smith, who already talked about, you know, she was the talent director for a law firm. So she's got law experience. She does have some HR experience, but no sales experience. She never did outbound sales, never did anything like she does today. And yet she is super, super successful following the playbook and helping us write the playbook, honestly. Our second franchisee, he actually came from B2B sales, SaaS sales from Amazon. Tired of the layoff, you know, wheel effect. He was a referral from someone who was close to Doxa. He's in the Seattle area and just doing a fantastic job. But we had to break him of his cold calling tendencies. Like, this is not a transactional business. This is not where you're going to get a list of 200 people and you're going to pick up the phone and make 100 calls a day and sell this. It's very, very relationship driven. And so he actually started trying to do something that didn't work and then reset, joined a bunch of networking groups, started calling his sphere of influence, and now he's rocking and rolling. Our third franchisee, she was a chief marketing officer and chief growth officer of an agency that actually provided a lot of support to franchisors in the Denver area. She's fantastic. She's tapping a lot into the franchise industry. So she has clients in franchising, like Nicole does as well. She came to the IFA with me, paid to do that. Same with Nicole. And she's really starting to make a lot of inroads on that. Plus, in the local Denver area, weirdly enough, like contractors hire a lot of offshore talents, which nobody would think about, but she's found her way into these kind of niche groups that need help, that are having a problem staffing, and she's filling that gap, even though she has no experience doing it. Again, no outside sales experience, no outbound sales experience, but great network and somebody who understands what it means to hire or have that desire to hire and need to hire. Our franchisee in Cincinnati, she actually does come from the HR world. So she is a Society of HR Managers certified person. At the end of her career, she was working for a company that got bought out by Paychex, hated the corporate culture that happens. And she's like, I need to do my own thing. And then our sixth franchisee in Northern California, he serial entrepreneur, but also connected to us because his wife is our head of marketing. So it's kind of an internal thing, and that's okay. When you're young as an emerging brand, you're always going to sell to friends and family first. And he's one of those, but owned three different marketing agencies, an e-commerce firm before that, huge network in Northern California. And again, utilizing those connections to really make this work.
I think it's an incredibly unique franchise opportunity that solves real problems and helps companies scale, build departments, outsource departments, fill that gap between open positions and the labor pool that doesn't exist. This is a nice break in the home services kind of conversation, even brick and mortar. This is a very unique concept. non-brick and mortar, work from home, make your own schedule, don't need employees. If you do, you can outsource them very inexpensively. Yeah, a US $120,000 position could literally be 30, 40 overseas. Am I wrong?
We even have a client who hired their CFO through us offshore. CFO.
Right. These people have MBAs. Like, we're not the only one pumping out MBAs, right? The world's doing this. Yeah.
One of your early questions was, you know, what a borderless leader is. And that's part of it, right? It's companies in the U.S. realizing you do not have to look at your local borders as being the restriction on your team. And really leaning into the remote work environments, finding talent wherever it is. If you're only looking in this little pool, you're probably not going to find it. So open yourself up. Offshoring is not a dirty word anymore.
It's not a dirty word. I love it. What a great way to end the show. I really appreciate you taking the time out to be with me today. I wish you a great weekend.
Appreciate you having me as well.
Thank you for watching Pursuit of Profit, brought to you by Phrenosity. If you're exploring franchise ownership, don't guess your way through it. The wrong decision can cost you years and hundreds of thousands of dollars. At Phrenosity, we help you evaluate opportunities and build a clear strategy before you invest. And our services are completely free. If you found this episode helpful, make sure to like, subscribe, and follow for more. And if you're ready to get started, go to phrenosity.com and book a call. That's phrenosity.com.